Welcome back to another episode of Off Topic Radio. Just days after the Olympia. How you doing, Aaron?
Feels like I just got home from the Olympia.
What's that?
Feels like I just got home from the Olympia.
I know. You sound like you just got home from the Olympia. You sound tired.
I shouldn't be tired. I took a nap earlier today, and I slept good. I went to bed early last night, but it was a very, very long weekend, that's for sure.
And stressful.
Stressful, long, all of the above.
You want to tell everybody that I didn't even know who the winner was until we just talked a little while ago?
Yeah, Carl asked me, so who won?
Pretty funny.
Yeah, that is funny. It's typical, but funny. Last year you watched the webcast.
Yeah.
Whole show in the hotel room. So.
Yeah, yeah. And got ready for the after party. Because, there's no mystery. Everybody knows that I'm really not that into the whole thing. And that's why you threw the gauntlet down and said that you wanted me to make my Olympia picks. Did any of them come right? I wonder where they are. I wonder if I still have them over here.
Do you have them? I'd love to see go through them again.
I don't know if I still have them. But
I was right except for the top two. I thought, if you remember, I thought that Phil Heath would win. And Jay Cutler would come in second, and it didn't go down that way. Actually, I take it back. I was pretty significantly off before the show. I changed my pick after prejudging, so I had a little bit of a cheat there. But I ended up Branch Warren being third, and I had Branch Warren I think in fifth.
That's shocking to me that Branch got third, but you know.
Yeah. So this is how it went down, going by memory. I may mess one of them up. Jay was in first, Carl. Second was Phil, who, in my opinion, you know, from everything I saw, from my seat, was still the winner. And so I should have been right, but I wasn't. So Jay wins, and in winning, Jay eliminates the MV curse, or the Weider curse, or whatever you want to call it, because he is not a Weider athlete, and he won Mr. Olympia again.
That's impressive, time. Yeah.
So, in second was Phil, and third was Branch, and in fourth was Dexter Jackson, who seemed genuinely actually happy to be in fourth this time, which was cool to see Dexter happy. Fifth place was, shit, Carl, see, this is what I need to be around.
So what happened to Kai
Green? Dennis Wolf. Dennis Wolf.
What happened to Kai Green?
Kai Green got all the way behind Ronnie Rocco, who got a sixth.
What I mean, did Kai look that bad? I mean, did he come in that bad conditioning or what?
I'll tell you what, Carl. Kai is one of those guys that if he's holding a little bit of water, you know, everything gets significantly blurred. He needs to be dry and hard to pull it off. Otherwise, his physique doesn't really shine. You know,
right. Basically,
when Kai turns around on the back, he should beat everybody. There's nobody competing today that should be close from the back if Kai's on.
Right.
But if Kai's off, he is not even beating some of these guys from behind. So they say Mr. Olympia has won and lost from the back. So he wasn't even on from the back. So, you know, when I saw him at prejudging, unfortunately, Carl, at prejudging, I was sitting so far back. I was sitting by Haley McNaff. I actually got her a ticket. So I was sitting with Haley. Troy Johnson and his wife Troy's from Gaspari and Chrissy Chin, and we were sitting so far back that I was reminded how spoiled I am sitting in the press pit. We were
right.
Like 40 rows back, and I'm like, how can anybody even watch a show from 40 rows back? Maybe 50 rows back. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I can't tell what these guys even look like. So people were texting me and stuff, like, how does Kai look? I'm like, I don't even know. I'm here, but I don't know. You know, so it's. The difference between the press pit and 50 rows back is like night and day. So it's interesting when people come on the internet and they're like, I was there at the show. I saw Kai Green. He should have won. I'm like, yeah, you know, from 20 rows back, 30, 40 rows back, you can't tell anything really.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Did Jay look that good? I mean, I'm looking at the picture. His faux hawk is distracting to me.
Yeah, I like to call it the rooster.
I mean, it's, you know, everybody breaks Andy Heyman's balls about his banjo kazooie haircut, but Jay is like a close second to him now.
If you could pick, Carl, which haircut would you have? If you had to have one,
I don't know, man. That's they're both really ugly. I don't know. I mean, it's you know, I mean, I guess I'm pretty vain, but I think I would almost go with Andy Heyman's look.
It's funny, we were walking through the hotel and you asked me, would you ever do that with your hair?
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
It is funny.
What did I say?
No.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see Jay's haircut, if you cut off like 2 or 3 inches, wouldn't be that bad, you know?
Is he trying to go for the California blonde haired guy look, you think?
I don't know what look he's going for. He tried to update. He updated his haircut. It's funny. Dave Palumbo says that Jay cut his old haircut, the slick back hair. That's the best haircut in the world, he says.
And Jay looks good in it because he has really straight hair. So
yeah, I guess. But that's Dave Palumbo's pick for the best haircut. Yeah. He doesn't know why Jay Cutler would have done this to himself. I actually think Jay Cutler looks better with this newer haircut, because that old haircut is very, very it's no longer in style whatsoever. So
right.
You know, at least he looks more stylish, I suppose. It's not what I would do, but it's better than Kai Green's.
I don't know. Kai Green's hair is pretty interesting. He's got that Asian, Middle Eastern, you know, the braids. He almost looks like an old sensei or something. But then,
yeah, he's like a samurai haircut.
Yeah. He does.
And if you take a look at Kai's hair up close, you'll notice that the braid that's hanging off the back of his head, there's like a design kind of to the hair surrounding it. He's got like in shaved in, almost like squares, like a pattern into the rest of the hair. Whatever's left. I don't believe Kai has, you know, a full head of hair.
Right.
I mean, I think it's kind of receded almost into, I don't know if it started off as like the monk look, or it's just ended up as the monk look. You know? I don't know if there was like a full head of hair plus the braid at some point, but it's receded, so now there's just the thing in the back. He probably doesn't have to do anything for that.
So there's questions on RX Muscle's board. Two people noticed that out of all the pictures from the Olympia, there seems to be, my mug is missing.
Yeah, you were there, in fact. People even doubted that you were there. I got a few emails from a fan saying that they looked all over the expo for you, and they don't believe that you came.
Well, so and people
one picture, and I can't produce a picture.
So. And people Catherine Ramirez, I met her, and she actually put on the board here, by the way, it was nice to finally meet you in Vegas, Carl. So no, I was definitely
there.
Yeah, I was really there. I was really there, but I was very narrowly focused on one person and one person only the whole time I was there. And it is obviously the woman that I'm in love with. And I really didn't want to be around anybody else, frankly. And even, you know, you even knew that. I mean, you voiced, something to me the night that I dropped you off at the Olympia. You were like, I'm looking forward to hanging out with you tonight at the after party. And I had intended to go to the after party, but I had this remarkable dinner at Caesar's Palace, like an almost 3-hour dinner, and I drank a lot at dinner. And after dinner, it was like 12:30, and I really didn't want to go to the after party. I didn't want to encounter anybody. I just wanted to be alone with this lovely woman. I don't know how to refer to her at this point in time. I was gonna refer to her as my lady love, and I actually had this song downloaded by Lou Rawls. Remember this song?
Keep playing it.
There's Lou Rawls.
Yeah.
My lady love. So anyway, I was really just,
you're so corny.
I know. I just really didn't want to be around anybody else. I didn't want to spend a minute with anybody else. I didn't want to dilute the opportunity of spending all my time with her. That's really the God's honest truth. And, you know, given my choices, in which I was, my choice was to just be with her.
Yeah.
So, and I know.
You know that.
And now you've seen her, Aaron, so you can see why I just want to be with her, right?
Oh, she's a very attractive lady, and I was very proud of you.
Thank you.
Although, I wouldn't be being honest with our listeners if I didn't say I wasn't disappointed that I didn't get to spend more time with you.
Yeah, I
was very jealous of her. I wanted to scratch her eyes out.
Oh, listen to you. The cattiness is coming out now.
A little bitch.
Oh, that's funny.
I was actually disappointed that so many fans came up to me at the expo and wanted to meet you, and you were nowhere to be found. That was really what disappointed me.
Yeah, that's okay.
So many people wanted to. It's okay.
Well, you know what it is? And the truth of the matter is, I don't really do well. I think you handle it a lot better than I do, frankly. I don't really do well with people fussing over me. And like for instance, you said to me that who's the British bodybuilder, the monster?
Zach Kahn
was like, Where's Carl? I want to meet Carl. And you were like, Zach Kahn wants to meet you. And I go, I'll go by his booth later. I'll stop there later.
I think you were scared of Zach.
No, it's not that at all. It's just that I just don't really feel comfortable with people making a fuss over me, and that's the God's honest truth. And I've always been that way. And I, you know, and when some of the fans met me, like Adam, what's his name, UConn Crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I was so pleased to meet him, but I just feel awkward because I feel like I'm just a regular person. I don't know why people are fussing. So, but anyway, I did meet some people. I did see some people there, and it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed myself. But I was just enthralled. I was just I didn't really want to do anything else but to spend time with this.
Well, you understand why the people want to meet you, don't you?
Yeah, I understand why.
I mean, I thought the idea was to bring the new girl. I'm going to call her Mrs. X, or Miss X, I like that.
Okay, Miss X, okay.
Miss X, I thought it would be cool to bring Miss X around to the X, but that was a bad idea. And she could see all these people, you know, all this adulation you're receiving, and you know, and you could be like, oh, you know, I don't know, you know, look at me, you know? But that was the plan.
But you know what the reality is?
I feel,
it's not even that. And I don't know that maybe I did need that. I don't think I needed it, to make her interested. But the real problem I have is that the expo was so crowded. It was just so crowded that you really couldn't move. It was almost like organized trick or treating with people walking around with shopping bags filled with samples and, you know, and the hustle and the bustle. Because she and I went and sat and watched the Flex bikini search. For quite some time, because she's interested in doing a bikini competition, and I'm convinced after seeing the girls that were on the stage for the Flex bikini competition and seeing her, that she could really absolutely compete at that level for sure. And we watched that, and that was fun because we were kind of away from everybody. Then once you have to start walking through the crowd, and you know I've always been this way because even when we've gone to these shows in the past. Like the crowds just don't. I just don't do well in crowds. I just don't do well in them. I don't like all that cluster.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you say that. It was crowded, but it was nowhere near as crowded as like the Arnold.
No, the Arnold draws a lot more people. Than
it was.
The
it was crowded. I mean, it's for sure. You know, it's tough. In that atmosphere with the aisles and stuff, some of the aisles get super crowded and people stop to. That's really what happens is there's aisles of congestion where, like, you know, the animal barbell, a little area, I guess their cage.
Right.
They'll be doing something and people will stop to watch. So it's like there'll be congestion in certain areas. So all of a sudden, you know, there'll be a dead stop. And also with you guys kind of like to stroll. I like to walk, you know, so.
Yeah.
You following me around.
Well, you know what it is? When you're in love, it's like you're not in a hurry to get anywhere. You just want to be with each other. Well, I'm being honest. You know what I mean?
No, I'm sure I believe you. I believe you're right.
I didn't have any agenda of where I wanted to be. I just wanted to, be wherever she was. If she was standing, I just wanted to stand there. If she wanted to walk, I wanted to walk. It's kind of just the way I feel. Medium Extreme said, LOL, oh shit, Carl's going to make her a mixtape.
Carl, you may have already made her a mixtape.
Is that what guys do nowadays when they're crazy about somebody? They make them a mixtape?
Now, didn't you do something like that already?
No. What, like you mean poetry?
Any songs?
No.
Playlist or something?
No.
I know you wrote her some poetry.
Yeah.
Paul was a poet.
Yeah, right? No one knew it. I knew it from years and years and years ago. But anyway, I really had a great time in Vegas, and I'm sorry that those of you who wanted to meet me that I wasn't around.
Well, let me tell you so that you know, there was an overwhelming amount of people. It just goes to show you, 2 years ago, we went to the Olympia the first time, nobody knew us, you know, at the Arnold, you know, very few. We had a few people, and it was like a big deal because we had a few people. And this time, literally, I'm not exaggerating, I got stopped well over 100 times.
Wow. That's great.
Throughout the entire weekend. And that was, and you know, what it does for me is it lets me know that we're reaching people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that people enjoy the show. You know, sometimes you get, you know, I get kind of unsure of how we're doing, so it's a good judge of how the show's doing and how it's reaching people. And, you know, and what people think. I always ask also, you know, when I meet somebody, I ask them, what do they like about the show? You know, do they have any suggestions, anything that they want, you know, differences. You know, the funny thing is people on the boards, it's such a difference between the people I meet in real life and the people on the boards. The people on the boards want more people from the boards.
Right.
And the people from real life, they want it to be less from the boards. You know, I guess because some people aren't involved in the boards, but so it's interesting. You hear such different things from the people who are involved and are, that are like live listening now. Want a whole different kind of thing, you know?
Right, right.
It's interesting. You know, I guess you get like you always told me, you got to do what you want to do and hope people like it.
Yeah. Now let's talk about you. I mean, you were missing in action too. People are mad at you that you started this whole sushi battle and you weren't even there.
Well, listen to you. Well, I was at the expo both days, and I saw all the events. But I did. I actually went to the after party, and I went to the after party on Saturday night, and I met a whole bunch of people there. And I, you know, so it's an interesting thing reporting on the after party. I don't know what I should say or if I should report who the people I hung out with or who I saw. So I'm just going to go with the safe bet and not report any.
Well, let me ask you. Let me ask you this question: did you happen to notice a woman who always is at the Arnold and the Olympia, who clearly looks like she has had butt implants? She was wearing gold LeMay shorts this time.
Yeah.
What is with that? I mean, what does she really think that that is appealing, or that somebody is looking at her and going, "Wow, I'd like to hit that."
I'd like to know. I know the name of this woman, but I'm not going to say it.
Really, you know her name?
Yes.
Is she a porn? Is she a porn star?
No. But she is known, and yes, I'm sure those are implants.
Oh, that goes without saying. I mean, they're not even. I don't even think they're really butt implants. I think they're actually.
Those are implants.
No. I know they're implants, but I don't think they were designed to be butt implants. They look like the curb. They look like the rubber thing that they put on the curb right where the where the wheelchair ramp is. You know what I mean? They just put two of those in her ass.
You didn't like that, huh? I would think of all people like.
Oh, come on. I mean, I like a shapely, you know, a plump ass, but that those things, they're ridiculous looking. Let's put it this way. If I had to be hit by a truck and they said you can have one thing to shield yourself, what would it be? I would pick her ass. So it was ridiculous.
Should have asked to see if you could feel it, if it's like soft and supple.
Hell no. I wouldn't want to. Ugh, God.
You wouldn't want to feel it? Come on.
No, absolutely not. That is nasty, man.
It's experimental. You wouldn't want to experiment.
No, that's nasty. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I see, every now and then I see it at these shows and I just think to myself, what was she thinking?
It's so funny because I know exactly. I think anybody, maybe not anybody who's been once or twice, but anybody that goes regularly will know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And she always wears those like the pants that are like either metallic or like last time she wore some like rubber looking black pants. She's backstage at the Arnold. That's where you probably met her the first time. You've seen her backstage.
I didn't. I've never met her. I mean, I've seen her. You can't help but, you know, it's kind of like seeing somebody
next
with
time
a.
I'll introduce you.
Nah, I don't want to. It's like seeing somebody who has a hunchback. You go, wow, look at that lump on their back. You know, it's not like
she's got a lot of work done. She's got her boobs and her lips and everything else too. You know,
she must have got a discount on a 50-gallon vat of silicone. She didn't know what to. She's like, let me just shoot it everywhere I can. That's all.
He bought the 55-gallon drum of silicone from China and just injected it everywhere.
Yeah, just, you know, and she got a little crazy. She's like, she is to butts what Wildenstein is to facelifts. So
I thought you were going to say Derek Anthony. I was about to say.
Don't talk about Derek like that. But by the way, I saw Derek posted something on my wall one day saying that just because he and Aaron don't get along anymore doesn't mean that I have to turn my back on him. And I've never turned my back on him. I've never texted him, never emailed him. So what's going on between you and Derek Anthony? You guys like at a war or something?
No, we were for a minute. We're not anymore. I really didn't know. I never had any problem with Derek. I just, you know, Derek likes to give people a lot of shit, you know, and sometimes he doesn't think of the result. So he'll say something, you know, that's derogatory, and he won't even realize what he's saying is derogatory. And then you'll respond in kind, and he'll take that as a full-blown, you know, attack.
Yeah, right. So in other words, he can give you shit, but if you give it back to him, then you're at war.
Yeah, he made a comment about my ex-girlfriend saying that she was something about that she was an ugly troll, and about Amy, and I just ignored it. You know, we're not dating. I don't really care. And then he said something else about how I look skinny in another picture, you know, just commenting on my Facebook pictures. So when he made a comment about one of Lewis's pictures, he said something about Lewis's contest pictures, and he said something derogatory about Lewis, I decided to write back something derogatory about him in the same picture.
You know, did you say something about his hair or what?
I said something like that. I don't even remember. It wasn't like super pointed, you know, it was just like, you know, I think that's what it was. I think he made fun of Lewis's hair and I said something about his hair. You know,
because he's very proud that he spent a lot of money on.
He's
on his hair plugs, right?
He's very sensitive in general, so he took huge offense to that, and then the war or whatever, quote unquote, war ensued. So, and that was it, you know. And it went on for a little while, but he was nice when we were at the Olympia. And I really don't have any hard feelings about anybody. You know what I mean?
Right,
I know Derek, and you know, he's a very sensitive guy, and I probably shouldn't have even wrote that because his comments didn't bother me nearly as much as my comment ended up bothering him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he obviously was very offended because I received, you know, a good 100 text messages threatening me, insulting me. So
GX just posted on the board that the woman that I was referring to before with the bionic ass, she is Brazilian bodybuilder Ann Luiz Freitas. Freitas? Did I pronounce that right?
I think so, yeah. That's
she should change her last name from Freitas to Freak Ass. Ann Luiz Freak Ass.
No one would forget her then.
That, yeah, I mean, you know, she could be right up there with that porn star that's now doing figure competitions. What's her name again?
I'm not saying she's a nice girl. I met her. I'm not.
Did you meet her? Did she know that we talked about her on the show?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Was she pissed off at me?
No, she's very sweet in person, and I felt bad actually. She's very pretty in person.
So, but okay, she's.
Very, I mean, can I say her name, or do you think it's now that I've met her and she's a nice?
No,
girl,
of course we talked about her blatantly about her porn videos, and now she's in the IFBB. It's like
I feel bad though. Now she told me she's got a child, you know, a teenage son. And,
okay, so wait a minute. Do you feel bad for her choices that she made in her life, or do you feel bad because we're talking about the choices that she made in her life?
I guess we're talking because she hasn't.
Well, she's the one who made those choices. I didn't make those choices. I mean, I do stupid stuff and people talk about it all the time.
Dude, I don't know. I feel bad. I don't feel bad that we talked about it before, but I feel bad to like bring up her name again because if people don't already know, then they're going to look.
Okay, fine. Then you can protect her, and we won't talk about her.
She's really hot, Carl.
Big deal.
She's hot, and she's like in her 40s. If you weren't already taken and in love, you would definitely be all over.
Aaron, no offense, but I don't think I'd ever date a porn star. I'm sorry.
She's an ex-porn star.
It doesn't. Oh, okay. It's like okay. Never mind. Never mind.
All right. I'm hurting your credibility with your new one.
No, it's not even that. It's just that I would never date a porn star. I wouldn't want. I mean, I'm not built that way. I wouldn't date a porn star.
I wonder if I would be able to date a porn star.
Why don't you date her and find out?
I don't think I would.
Well, she's so beautiful and she's so sexy
hot.
And she's so hot that you want to protect her. So you're being her Prince Charming right now on the radio. Why don't you take her out?
No, I don't think so. Maybe if she lived in Houston, I'd take her out.
Does she live in Houston?
No, she doesn't live in Houston. I just thought she was nice.
So what did she say?
I'm not looking to date somebody who's in their late to mid 40s. You know what I mean? I'm looking for something that. You know, I'm not dating.
Okay, but here's what I have to ask. So what did she say about the comments that I made about her on the show? Was she repulsed?
No, she didn't make any comments about like that. But she, you know, she came up to me specifically.
So she saw, she came up to you and she says, I know you're Aaron Singerman. I know you guys do off topic. And I heard the horrible things that you said about me.
No. She said the first part and left it to me to say anything else.
Isn't her first name like Voluptuous or something like that? Or
well, her fake name is Exotica.
Exotica, okay, Exotica.
So she, first of all, I had been told earlier because I had told a bunch of girls who knew her to tell her I wanted her on the show, right?
Right.
I didn't want to call her myself because the only number I had was her home number, and I felt I just didn't want to call her. So I have a lot of friends that knew her, the girls that compete with her. She won Team Universe. I know a bunch of girls who did Team Universe with her, including Kat Ramirez.
Right.
So I asked them to ask her, and, you know, and they asked her, and she got very, like, offended. She's like, if he comes up to me and asks me about porn, I'm going to slap him in the face.
That's what she said?
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, great. And so I think it was PJ Braun's client. Who is it that came up and told me? Was it? Maybe it was Kat who told me. I don't remember. But she came up and told me that that if you don't say anything to her about it, she wants to keep it in her past. She says if you ask her about it, she'll slap you in the face.
Yeah, right.
And so
that's like saying if you go up to I don't know, if you go up to fucking Jeffrey Dahmer and ask him what people taste like, he's gonna smack you in the face because he doesn't want anybody to remember that he fucking ate people. You know what I mean? It's like,
I understand. Look, hey, I understand where you're coming from. It's just that, you know how I am. I met her and we got along. And she seemed nice, and that was it. And she won't do the radio show. So at this point, if she won't do the radio show. Then it's kind of like, you know, the whole
thing. Ask her if she'll do the radio show if I don't do the show. If you and PJ get to interview her, because you guys will play fair with her.
I don't think she has a problem with you personally.
I bet you she does, because she knows if she comes on the show, I'm going to talk about her porn background.
That's all we want to talk to her about. What else do we want to talk to her about?
I mean, anybody who sees the videos that she's done would want to know, wow. That,
interestingly,
you know,
enough, though, this may play into part of the reason why she doesn't want it out there, is that The Biggest Loser, the TV show, was shot in her personal training studio, part of the show.
Oh, so man.
That's very possible that she doesn't want those people to know, you know, this background.
Especially since wait a minute. Wasn't the video that she did shot in like a gym-like setting? I bet it was her studio.
Yeah. I don't know.
So when they're doing The Biggest Loser, and that big fat slob of a guy is sitting on that bench, that's the bench she was pounded on. Oh my God! No wonder why she doesn't want anybody to know. They don't want. She just needs to go out and reupholster all the equipment in her gym. That's all.
Maybe she already has. We don't know. Her gym looks pretty nice in the pictures she showed.
You can bet she's going to smack me if she ever sees me. So I'm going to be prepared for her.
Yeah, you better be ready.
I'll be prepared.
It's pretty big, too, Carl.
Oh, yeah.
Good-sized woman.
Yeah.
I would go like 5'8", maybe 145 in shape. So it's pretty
You know big. What? I tell you right now. She should. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I've done a lot of stupid shit in my life, and I've owned up to it. And you know what? This bullshit about, well, I don't want anybody to know. You did it. Put it out there and be done with it. Don't try to hide it. Get it over with. Because as long as you try to hide it, people are going to pick at it. So just put it out there and be done with it.
That's certainly how me and you do things.
Just get it over with. You know what? It's like Eminem in 8 Mile at the climax of the movie. He knows he's going to get ripped up in that rap contest. So what does he do? He self-effaces. He disassembles himself. So what else could you say about me that I didn't just say about myself? And the other guy is dead in the water. He disarms him. So that's what you do. You hit it head on. You say, okay, so I made a mistake. This is what I did. I'm not proud of it. And I move on. She should come on the show and do that on our show.
I guess that's after the break. I should do that about the sushi eating contest, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and take the commercial break now. Okay. And then we come back. We'll find out why Aaron, the sushi organizer, Singerman, didn't show up to his own sushi event. You're listening to Off Topic Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans, periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio. So now we're going to discuss probably what was would not be promotions 101 type stuff, at least taught by Don King, the king of promotions, where you throw you set up a promotional event, you pick the venue, you pick the sport, you invite the players, and then the promoter doesn't show up.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
Now, first of all, why didn't you show up? Is it because you were also with your love interest?
No. No, I was not at the time. I went out with a bunch of dudes that night. And we stayed out. I stayed out until I didn't get back to the hotel room until about 8:39 in the morning.
Oh, man.
Actually, it's interesting, Carl. We went to a place called, we went to the after party club, Jason's after party.
Club Hayes, right.
Hayes, right. And that was cool. I mean, it wasn't like, I tell you, it wasn't like the one at BOMA, at the Arnold, because there's just too many parties. You know, you can't have five after parties. You know, they got the official gala that I went to for the athletes and media and people with VIP tickets and stuff, where they provide free food and all the athletes are required to go. They give out awards and everything. I took some pictures on Facebook. And I went to that, and it ends around midnight. Most of the athletes leave around midnight. So they get, most of them need to go and change and get dressed, and by the time they go out, people go in so many separate directions. You know, Jay Cutler's got an after party. Victor Martinez had an after party. Troy Owls had his birthday party. We have the frigging Dexter Jackson after party. We have a muscle and fitness party. We got the of course Jason Deere after party. We got the Stan McQuay party. I mean, it's too many parties, so it splits people up in too many directions. That's why the BOMA party in Columbus is so successful after Arnold, because it's the only party and there's nothing else to do.
Well, that's not true. The individuals who throw, you know, Jim Mannion, he has his own after party.
Not Jim Mannion. You mean, you're talking about,
Arnold Schwarzenegger's buddy. What's his name? Jim Lorimer. He has his own after party that competes.
Yeah, but it's not, you know what I mean though.
Yeah.
That, that's like a totally different scene. That's like comparing the Olympia Gala to, you know, Jason's party here. It's not, they're two different things. But yeah, you're right. You're right.
Right.
But the turnout for Jason's party in Columbus is different. You know what I mean? It's like nobody misses that. And not, I'm not saying that he couldn't do the same thing in Vegas, but there needs to be some kind of some synchronicity. They need to, like, put things together. You can't have, you know, nine parties because there's only so many people. I mean, if you, there are nine parties and there's only 8,000 people that attend the, even the whole Olympia event.
Right.
You know, it gets ridiculous, you know.
So anyway, so let's get back to this. So you stayed out late.
I went to this, and then we went to a place called Dre's, which is famous in Vegas for being an after party place.
Right.
And it was quite a scene. Should I talk about a little about the party, or should I just tell my sushi thing?
Give us the Reader's Digest version of Dre's you're going to talk about, or of the Jason Deere's after party.
Only in Vegas can you actually get hit on. I had this blonde chick that came up to me, really attractive, started rubbing all over me, telling me she thought I was hot and everything. And I was like, oh, thank you, or whatever.
Did she know you from the show, or she was just a blind chick that was just looking for something?
I don't know. She looked like she could have worked a booth or something. But anyway, so she's rubbing all over me. And I was like, I don't remember how it came up, but she goes, $150 to come back to my room.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, why?
You should. My question would have been, I can get a cab cheaper than that, honey.
No, I was like, I was shocked. She's probably 22, 23. And I was like, oh, no, that's okay. She's like, I usually charge $400. And I was like,
but
no.
you're so damn hot, I'm giving you a credit. I'm giving you a discount.
And I was like, nah, thank you for the compliment, but that's okay. You know, and then it's funny, at the after party call, this girl's probably listening to the fucking show. She's really going to get her feelings hurt. There's one girl at the after party, and when I was sitting with Haley McNuff, I asked Haley, I said, Haley, you think that's a dude? You know?
Right.
She was tall and muscular, not a bodybuilder necessarily, just like a bigger kind of figure competitor. Haley's like, no way, it's definitely a girl. You know, she's obviously had a lot of work done, big boobs, but she looked like she could be like a really attractive transsexual, you know?
Right, right.
And so it just figures that this is the girl at the after party that comes up to me and is like, oh, you're handsome, you know, and starts hitting on me. So it just figures that the one girl that I'm not even sure is even a girl is the one that comes up and hits on me at the party.
Well, you've had guys flirt with you before on Facebook. You have your own little schmodem going on there.
Oh, of course.
This might have been one of them. Maybe he got all decked out thinking, I'm going to trap Aaron Singerman by fooling him and making him think I'm a girl.
Well, it wouldn't have mattered, but I ended up leaving alone at Dre's, which was interesting because you leave Dre's and you walk outside. And, you know, in the club, there's loud music. It's like black lights, you know, dark lighting. And you walk up into the casino. That's where it's based. Some shitty-ass casino, too. You walk out, and they have the doors kind of rolled up in the morning. It's like all sunlight and, you know, fresh air. And, man, is that depressing.
Yeah, it's kind of like that's what vampires feel like.
Yeah, it's been so long, so many years since I've done something like that. Because, like, in Columbus or most after parties, you're home by 4 or 5 at the latest, you know?
I was home before that.
Yeah, so it's not light yet, but walking out into the sunlight, it's like looking for a cab, being all dressed up, and in my case, very sweaty and just disgusting. I was like, wow, this is like really depressing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like everybody's looking at you like you're cracked out. You know, you got all these like tourists at like 8 in the morning, you know, on the strip, like walking around in their shorts and tank tops.
Yeah, and jogging. They're jogging to go have breakfast.
Jogging and people taking pictures. I'm dressed, you know, black slacks and, you know, dressed up.
Yeah. And you have that stale look by then because you look like you've just been run over by a bus.
Oh, I didn't look good, I could tell you. So when I got back to the room and showered and everything, and I laid in bed, I couldn't fall asleep. It was like 10 o'clock. And I set the alarm for 4. I figured my phone would be blowing up by then. But it turns out my phone actually got shut off. And I didn't wake up in time for the sushi.
So that's why you missed the sushi. Oh, okay. All right.
Now, I really don't have any excuse, honestly, Carl. It wasn't a conscious decision. But, you know, looking back on it, you know, if I really wanted to do it right, I wouldn't have went out like that all night because it's not conducive to promoting. You know, obviously, you know, it didn't work out, and I feel like I did let everybody down a little bit because I know that the turnout would have been better if I would have went.
Did Dave Palumbo comment to you that he was upset with you for not showing up?
He doesn't have my new phone number. I have no.
Oh, there you go. So you dodged that.
I'm sure he's upset. He's always upset. So he'll probably be upset about it. But
do you know who won the event? Did Ben White win it?
I don't even know. I couldn't have eaten anything though. I could tell you, I would not have won. I didn't eat anything the whole rest of the day until that evening. So I went out that evening. The reason why I feel bad, Carl, is not because I missed the event, because I'm not getting paid to do this. It's not like Dave is paying me. I'm not receiving anything in exchange. The reason I feel bad is because I know that I could have helped make that sushi eating deal, much more successful, because I had people. It wouldn't have mattered anyway because my phone wasn't working, but I had people lined up that wanted to do it, pros that were interested in competing and going and, participating in the video. So if I would have made phone calls, I could have called, a bunch of other people to come.
Right.
People were relying upon me to know where to go and when to come. But, the thing about it is the phone was turned off anyway, so I wouldn't have been able to call anybody. As is, Carl, I don't know if you were aware of this, and I am now aware of this. Using a credit card in the casino to use the payphones, it runs you $30 every time you use the payphone.
No way.
Yeah. I called my bank, and they said that it's a pre-authorization of $30 per call. So maybe at one point.
Yeah, some of it will come back. Some of it will come back. And by the way, the long-distance phone calls you made from the room were also billed at a very high rate.
Were they?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. We'll work that out later.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't even. So, as you know, obviously, that you figured out that I didn't have the phone money either.
Yeah, well, then I realized why. When I was checking, when I was paying the bill, I saw you had used, and I thought, well, you didn't have a cell phone. There was no way for you to call anybody. So, meanwhile, I don't know if you're looking at the board, but Carson posted a question: if anybody knows that Heather May French's husband does gay porn.
I don't know anything about that, Carl.
Okay. Well, Carson, I can't validate this, but Carson has posted pictures up there and claims that that's Heather Mae French's husband in a very
That kind of gossip is not the kind of gossip that's fit to print, Carl.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just saying it's out there. That's all.
Yeah. If anybody gets in trouble, at least it'll be you, not me.
No, I'm just reporting what I see. I said Carson said it, and Carson posted pictures and says that that's Heather Mae French's husband. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it is or it's not. I'm saying Carson posted it, and he's saying it is. So they can go after Carson. and they can take his little horsies away from him.
He'll never get his horsies away from Carson.
No.
He'll ride them off into the sunset.
Yeah, he'll put one under each foot like a skate. They're so little. GX is telling us, hey, Carl and Aaron, Dawn and I are ready. Okay, well, as soon as this segment's over, we'll have you on. All right, we are going to have...
Are the segment over?
No, we got some time. No, and we're going to have the newlyweds on.
They're very excited, apparently.
Yeah, I saw the wedding pictures. Very, very interesting.
Yes, I saw the wedding pictures. They're not the usual wedding pictures, that's
no,
for sure.
No.
That is for certain. See, I would love to be at the wedding, too. I really, in retrospect, if I could have taken it back, Carl, I would have went with my friend, not my lady love, I don't think I could officially say anything like that, but my friend, and went with her and her family and gambled in the casino and hung around there and just had a few drinks. But I felt obligated to go to the after party. I'm surprised, I guess you didn't really, you had already gotten drunk, so you didn't feel obligated to do anything at that point.
Right.
But I was sober and I felt like I couldn't just not go.
Right.
And unfortunately, I couldn't bring her and her family because, of course, her family's there to see her. She can't just leave them.
Right.
And I only had three VIP passes total.
Yeah, that would have been funny. You could have left her father out on the curb.
Well, this is the funny thing. So I texted her and said, you should still come. And she said, I'm not leaving them. I can't leave them. I'm like, ha ha ha. And so I wanted to write back, of course not. Maybe I could figure something else out. And my phone died.
So she probably thought you were upset that she said that. That's funny.
Yes, in the morning she thought I was mad too. Fuck you then. You're not leaving your family?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
like when I turned back
and
on
I,
my
just
phone.
For the record, the reason I didn't want to go to the after party wasn't because I was drunk. It was because I was having too much
fun.
You
wanted to go spend time with your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to be around anybody. I didn't want to waste any time, you know.
I understand. Trust me, you guys don't live in the same place, so it's not like you can hang out all day every day.
Right.
So I understand. I completely get that. You know? So the next night I went and hung out and we had sushi and we did some gambling and, my gambling is at the very, very, very low end. I'll do the $5 table. And when I play poker, I play the $2 and $4 table. And I actually came out ahead about $40 for this whole weekend. So pretty happy with that.
So you went home a winner.
I went home a winner. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I missed the sushi and GX's wedding, which is very unfortunate. And, you know, I really don't have any excuses. I feel bad about it.
I'm looking at the board. I'm sorry if I sound a little...
I figured you were eating.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm looking at the comments to Carson posting pictures of who he claims is Heather Mae French's husband in a very, very compromising picture.
Oh, yeah,
is right. We don't want to talk about it. Anyway, all right, so what else do we want to talk about? Do you want to talk about some current event stuff? You sent me a couple stories here that you want to talk about.
We haven't done this, really. This is obviously a slightly different format already. This is our first week back after the Olympia, and we'll continue to try to change things up. This time we're doing an hour of banter as opposed to 30 minutes. And so far it's been going pretty good, I would say. Pretty easy, considering we've done no preparation except for these stories I've sent you.
Right.
So you've got these three stories, and the idea was to do like a little bit of a news time segment where we read three popular.
We're doing current events type stuff.
And then instead of necessarily commenting on the story, we can go wherever the story leads us.
Right. Which one do you want to do first? You want to talk about the an Earth-like planet?
It's up to you. The TV box or the Earth-like planet are the two that seem the most interesting to me.
I think the Earth-like planet one is really interesting. I think that, because I do believe that. Why should I believe that Earth is the only planet capable?
Well, read the story or give us a synopsis of the story.
What they said is a star known as Gliese 581 is utterly unremarkable in just about every way you can imagine. It's a red dwarf, most common type of star in the Milky Way, weighing in at about a third of the mass of the sun at 20 light years, blah, blah, blah. And basically what it says is it has one distinction, and that is I'm trying to find the gist of the whole story. Basically, this star has some significance because it has – some of the same attributes as the Earth, the surface of the Earth, and so on and so forth. And now they're trying to determine whether there's any type of life on it.
So it's not a star; it's one of the planets surrounding
a
star.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're right. And so, the question then arises: could there be life on other planets? And this has obviously been postulated for hundreds and hundreds of years. And I've always believed that there could be. I don't understand why we think that Earth is so unique. There's got to be another planet out there that is similar to Earth.
Contact, Carl?
What's that?
Have you ever seen the movie Contact?
Yes, yes.
Great movie, right?
Yeah, but see, this is what I disagree in. The idea that if there is life out there, that it's smarter than us.
Yeah, I agree. Right.
I don't think so. This whole idea that everybody likes to think that we were planted here by superior beings and then they left us alone and then, you know, and we're not really cutting it as well as they wanted us to. And I don't think so. I don't think that's it.
That sounds like something a semen taste from Get Big would be saying.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what he would promote. Right. That's what he would promote, that concept. I don't think so. I think that if anything, there's a planet out there similar to ours and chances are the people are just as confused about their lives as we are. And, you know, they probably have the same type of progress that we've had technologically. And maybe they're slightly more advanced. Maybe they're slightly less advanced. But the bottom line is I think it's very possible and probably realistic that there's a planet out there with life on it besides us.
I think that the chances of there being a planet with life on it is probably almost certain.
Yeah.
Because of the size of the universe and the percentages. If you, who is the guy who wrote the book Contact? I forget his name now. He died a little while ago, maybe 10 years ago or something. He did the universe, like that special.
It wasn't Isaac Asimov, right?
No. That's the guy who did the robot shit, iRobot. You're thinking of, remember the guy who used to do all, look up Google Universe, the universe.
The book, The Universe?
Or the book, Contact.
Yeah, Contact.
It's a very well-known astronomer.
All right, I'm doing that while you're talking.
So
book
anyway,
Contact, yeah.
Anyway, I think the chances of life being there being life is almost...
Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan. How could I forget that name? His name is Carl.
Yeah exactly. And so anyway, he says in there with all the different, you know, solar systems and all the different stars and all the different planets, chances are, you know, it's like an almost certainty. But the chances of them being more advanced than us or as advanced as us, you know, the chances are less and less. You know, there could just be a friggin' amoebas. You know what I mean?
Right. They could be the beginning of their evolutionary process.
Sure.
And that would be really nice to be able to find that. That would probably be more beneficial to us to find than.
Yeah, you don't want to find somebody more advanced than us.
Why is the assumption that more advanced, if anything, more advanced may be more peaceful? At least more educated is more peaceful. We know that the more ignorant somebody is, the more prone they are to start wars and believe in religion as a basis for decision. And anytime that people believe in religion as a basis for decision, we've seen what happens with that.
I think it just gets riskier and riskier. If you get somebody who is a slightly more advanced society or even a significantly more advanced society than they have a significantly more advanced
But
they could just crush us like that.
Yeah, but you know what? My point is.
Yeah, but we're pretty dumb, Carl. We could do shit
right.
And antagonize.
There
them.
You
just
go. But no, no.
Push the button.
Look, it's, think of a parent and a child. And I'm not talking about the aberrant parent-child relationship that you'll find in dysfunctional, situations. I'm talking about the true parent and child relationship. A parent looks at a child. A child looks at the parent and says, I hate you, and smacks the parent. The parent doesn't ball its fist and wallop it because it's more intelligent, it's more in tune, and it's more mature.
You're assuming that the when a parent-child relationship, the parent values the child as an individual or as its child. These may think of us as an ant. They may say, oh, this ant is bad, crush it.
Well, then
let's crush the ant and take its resources.
That's true. That's true. But then again, I have to go back to say that I think that people that life forms that are more intelligent tend to be less violent.
Yeah, I think to some degree, I think that like you said, I think that there's a chance for that, but there's also a chance. It would be very quickly this way. I'd be very nervous if some spaceship just started hovering.
Well, I will tell you this. I'm not real nervous about it because if a spaceship landed here, the first thing they would do is corral all the bodybuilders because they look like beef cow.
You always say that.
And they would eat them first.
I don't know, man. I saw some pretty sickly looking bodybuilders.
I know. You're right. They may look at them and go,
I wouldn't want to eat those motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're sick looking. You're right. Pasty gray skin.
Covered in fucking acne. I don't know if I want them.
Yeah.
Hair and acne, I'd be like, nah.
Yeah, no, I know. You're probably right about that.
I'll go for one of the more attractive.
What about this story about the fetal origins?
I would rile up the thicker girls, actually.
You think they would be tastier?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
The fetal origins, you see, that story better than the internet box.
Okay, I didn't read the internet box. Well, why don't you give me the gist of that, and then we'll talk about it.
The internet TV box, everybody's got this cable these days. We still got cable. I've got cable. I know you might not have cable.
Yeah, I do.
So you get these boxes, and basically everything you're watching now on your cable box is available if you look for it on the internet.
Right.
I mean, literally. Everything from, you know, new movies to movies you could rent to TV series to everything.
Right.
It's commercial free.
Right.
But instead, we still pay for this cable box that gives us now 200 channels of mostly shit you don't watch. Right,
right.
You know, I don't watch. I don't watch almost anything. I mean, I barely ever even turn the TV on, and when I do, it's on the History Channel or some other shit that's available.
Or True Blood.
Or a movie. or HBO movies, right?
Right.
You can get anyway. HBO True Series and stuff like that. True Series. TV series.
Yeah.
So these new boxes that are coming out and have come out in Japan and they're starting to come out are basically give you condensed the internet in a format. You can watch them on your TV.
Right. And basically what this is really not new. when I lived in Louisville, I had a separate computer that hooked up to my big screen TV, and I used that computer as a media server that allowed me to stream music through my surround sound system. But also, I had signed up for, what was it back then, Bongo or something like that? Vongo?
Yeah, one of those services.
I signed up for Vongo, and I used to watch movies on demand. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't doing it for economic purposes because I still kept my cable TV.
Right.
But by having
at that point, it couldn't replace it, though, at that point.
Right. But what they're doing here is they're creating a simple single interface that would make this effortless and convert it. And the other problem with Vongo is aspect ratio was difficult to correct.
Right. This has HDTV.
Yeah, this is a straight HDTV plug-in, so it corrects everything for you, and it's just like, so basically it really does simplify watching video on demand on your TV. I think it's a great idea.
So the guy who's writing the article is saying that, you know, that for a while now we've known, if you think about it, I mean, you've probably heard stuff about similar stuff to this for a long time. Well, it's finally coming to a day and age where you one day in the near future will be able to cancel your cable, because there'll be no point in having cable anymore, you know? And it won't make sense financially.
Well, listen, I'm actually betting on this when you think about it. I mean, I started this internet radio station because there is a trend right now to interface a web interface into car radios. Blaupunkt. Yeah, Blaupunkt came out with the MyRoamer, which will allow you to access internet radio stations. And the beauty of that is internet radio stations are just like satellite radio stations. You can listen to them from one end of the country to the other, and they're theme based and digitally delivered. So you have perfect audio, and you can put on 80s all the time, 90s all the time, talk radio all the time, or physical culture all the time in the case of Superhuman Channel. So I'm betting on this transition that we're looking at it from video standpoint. But as more and more equipment comes available that allows you to easily and simply access your favorite internet radio channels and treat them just like regular radio stations, my radio station hopefully will grow.
Right. Let's hope so.
So, I mean, this is a trend. And you know, we're looking at the internet differently now. We used to look at the internet as a platform in and of itself, and now the internet is becoming a delivery method, as just the way RF was.
You want to hear something cool? I downloaded this new application on my iPhone, Netflix. Remember Netflix?
Yeah, sure.
Service? So not only now on my iPhone, I can stream movies straight to my iPhone from my Netflix membership for $14.99 a month.
That's cool.
So I couldn't even believe it. I didn't even know this was technology.
Now, can you download them and play them later, or do you have to stream them live?
You have to stream them live for $14.99 a month. And that includes your two movies that they'll send you as DVDs, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they will, what you can do is, like, I can literally, if I wasn't speaking to you now, I could press the button, and they have a limited amount of selections because not everything is available to be streamed yet. Let's say I wanted to watch Sex and the City. For the record, I don't watch. But if I were to watch that, I could press Sex and the City.
Why, am I gay because I watch it once in a while?
Yeah. You and actually, interestingly enough, Zach Kahn, you know, I had drinks with Zach Kahn and Giles Thomas, and also Fit Adina from, I guess, from MD.com. Now.
Right, right.
All three of us had drinks and ate together. And actually, Zach and Giles were discussing how much they loved Sex and the City.
And, so. And Zach is that big monster.
Yeah, he laughed. You should hear him laugh. We go, oh,
that's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Oh, so funny, Giles. I love that show so much.
That's hilarious.
Who would you rather do, Samantha? Did you do Samantha?
Is that what he was saying?
You're saying who they would rather do.
Yeah, yeah, and I know. Is that what he was saying? That who would you rather do, Samantha?
I would rather do Samantha Giles, so she's too much of a...
You know, I like, what's her name? I can't think of her name now. Isn't that funny? The one with the dark hair. Her real name is Kristen something.
I don't remember any of them. But I know that's the Jewish-looking one.
Yeah. She's the one who married the Jewish guy. Remember, she had to convert.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's the cutest one of all
Definitely the cutest. I definitely would.
And she's got a great figure, and she's got that perky smile, and she's just really... Yeah.
So that was interesting. So, yes, I don't know. They don't seem gay, so I guess it's not required to be good to enjoy Sex in the City. If you're
yeah, but so in other words, if you wanted to watch Sex in the City on your iPhone, you could download it easily.
I could download it. I could watch it right now as we're talking. I could, well, not as we're talking, but I could watch it right now, yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, yeah, the iPhone
really
is amazing.
The selection of choices, although it's not unlimited, it is very, there's hundreds and hundreds of movies and hundreds and hundreds of television series that are available, all to be watched on your iPhone for $14.95 a month. Now, you can download anything off of iTunes you want, you know, for a price.
Right.
Like, I download TV shows all the time. If I have Wi-Fi, I can, you know, in 20 minutes download two or three episodes of, what have I been watching lately? Sons of Anarchy, the new season. I've been watching season 3. So yesterday, I downloaded 3 episodes in 35 minutes. It cost me $6.
Cool.
You know, so I can watch them at any time, probably... Next time I'm on an airplane or something, I'll have, 3 hours of television to watch for $6.
We really do have to take a break because GX and Dawn are waiting patiently to get on the air with us.
All right, let's take a break. I need to use the bathroom.
All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to have the newlyweds who got married at the Olympia this year on the show. And
board members and administrators, forum leaders, people should be happy to have along.
Yeah, and answering your questions. You're listening to Off Topic Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Everybody was kung fu. They fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them down.
This music was selected specifically by our music director, GX. Brandon, are you there?
There's nothing like our music director, GX, like Kung Fu Fighting, I have to say.
Yeah. We're having a hard time reaching Dawn. We called her several times and just goes into her voicemail. So if you're listening to us, Dawn, we were calling you, but you need to answer.
Is GX on the phone?
Yeah.
Yes, I am here.
He's here.
Oh, he's very low.
Yeah, you need to speak up a little bit, GX. Well, he's soft-spoken to begin with, but...
Well, this is true. I am trying to work on that.
Okay.
You want to try to call Dawn again, Carl? What do you want to do?
Well, in order for me to do that, I will have to take GX offline, and you will have to vamp for a while. You want me to put the music back on for you?
Yeah, please.
I don't know. What can I talk about?
I don't know.
Now, leave the music off. I'll make something up. How long is it going to take?
I don't know. If she answers, it's a couple seconds. So just hang on, okay?
Okay. We got the music in the background. It'll be interesting to hear when I play this back how my voice sounds on the regular telephone, in case you didn't notice. No Skype tonight, so John Romano can make fun all he wants. No Skype. Actually, I get to see John and his girlfriend, Valerie, who was also there at the show. And they did not come out, which didn't surprise me. It was nice to see both of them, and I don't think that they—I don't know if they made it to the sushi. I'll look at the pictures. They probably did make it to the sushi. He has no excuse because he went right home to the hotel. And I believe John stayed at the lovely Sahara, which I think is actually worse than New Orleans. Which I don't think New Orleans is really that bad. But a little inside news is I think that hopefully in the very near future, in the next year, in the next few years. The location of the Olympia will be moving to a different hotel, possibly. I don't know if the name is supposed to be saying that, but hopefully there will be a different locale. Not that back at the Mandalay Bay, but at a different hotel. There's a lot of nice choices now in Vegas, so it doesn't have to be at Mandalay or one of these top hotels. There's plenty of nice ones. I can tell you the Aria is really nice. Jeez, where the Club Hazel is. Doesn't get much nicer than that. You could totally tell. One thing that's interesting... going into from casino to casino is you can tell the consumer the differences. Like you go to the Orleans, it's all old, up, infirm, and fat. You go to the Aria.
So did I hear that right? Did I hear you say that John Romano did not come out to do anything with you guys?
No.
Well, I wonder why, because he's in the same situation I am. I know that he's crazy about his.
Okay. He alluded to that he was getting lucky for sure, so he's going home to do what he
Well, I've got some bad news.
What?
We don't have Dawn.
So, I guess we'll deal with just GX, that's all right.
But you have to speak up, GX, okay? Because I can't, if I make you louder, then Aaron's going to get even louder than you.
Okay.
He sounds better now.
Yeah. I will say it.
Much better.
Okay.
So how does it feel to be married?
It feels the same as it did the day before I was married.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No changes? I've always heard it changes people.
Well, I can say that I am feeling a lot happier these days. So I suppose that would be a bit of a change.
But now your life doesn't start until you... Are you moving to Canada or is Dawn moving here?
No, I will be moving to Canada.
So, we need to get the whole genesis of this thing, obviously.
Okay, so why don't you ask some questions? Go ahead.
You could do it. I don't wanna,
no, 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 no. Like, go ahead. You have something in mind. Go ahead. Start, and I'll jump in.
Well, I want to know, GX, since we haven't had you on the show in a while, I heard about this deal with you and Dawn getting married, Dawn Allison from the board, Fit Body. I actually heard about it once it was already planned. So I didn't even know you were even talking to her in a romantic way. Just literally one day I'm here talking to a Palumbo, and he tells me, oh, by the way, GX and Dawn Allison are getting married in Las Vegas for the Olympia. So how did it go from, you know, 0 to 60, and at what point did you start talking to her, romantically, I mean?
Well, it did not go from 0 to 60. Although you do know I am a fairly private person. I'm really not one to just, you know me, I'm not a fan of the spotlight. So, but see, she joined in February 2009, and Actually, been talking ever since then. Although it did start off, you know, really slowly, but it picked up over time.
Okay, so how does this happen? Did you PM her and say I'd like to talk to you? Did she reach out to you and give you the sense that she wanted to talk to you? How do you take that leap from or that step from, you know, having these indirect communications on the board to picking up the phone and talking to each other?
Truth be told, the first PM I sent to her was regarding the pit, because the pit was still around. And, you know, we were still trying to build the community and make sure we could definitely have a fairly high number for, you know, female members. Well, so here comes a female bodybuilder who decides to jump right into the pit. And, of course, the pit was notorious for running the female bodybuilders off. And when I saw that, I was just like, shit, someone needs to tell us something quickly. So you
PM'd her to give her a heads up about the firestorm that she was about to step into.
Yes, I did.
So your first communication with her was one of chivalry.
Pretty much, yes.
Or if you know, according to the guys on the board, gay. No, I'm like it.
They call it gay, white.
No, I'm breaking your balls. No. I'm with you on this. This is really nice.
If you remember, Carl, Dawn was one of the first females. Really, her and Sister Steele were the first ones to really get in there and mix it up with those guys.
Oh, I know. The guys were relentless with Dawn.
God.
They were relentless with her. They broke her chops every chance they could.
Yeah, but you know, she could actually deal with it. But it appears I have just gotten a message from her. You can actually call her cell phone.
Okay, so you want to do this? We'll get her on the phone then. Can we hold on just a second, Aaron?
Hey,
and just
Carl, am I gonna? You know what I was thinking is if I'm gonna be turned down. Too much, then maybe you should just conduct the interview and I'll...
Well, no, what I need you to... Aaron, if you could talk lower somehow, like move your mouth away from the phone, that'll balance everything out. But let me get her on the phone first,
well,
okay?
Actually, I can barely hear him, so...
And now you can't hear him at all because I just took you offline. Hold on a second, GX. You there? Okay, so would you please give me her cell phone? Hold on. Okay. Good.
This is more interesting. People like to hear the interworkings of.
Wait a second. I can't hear you over Aaron's voice. Hold on one second. Say that again, GX. Go ahead. Okay. Hang on, everybody. I'm going to do this real fast. Hang on, Aaron. And fans, stand by. This is live radio at its best. Dawn? Hi, okay, and Brandon, are you still there? Okay, I'm going to put you guys into the queue, so sit tight and we'll get back onto the interview.
Okay.
Okay, Aaron, we have both Brandon and Dawn on the phone, the newlyweds. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. So we were just asking Brandon how the connection was first made between you and he. He was telling the story about how he attempted to warn you about the pit. That's where we were. Now, when he reached out to you, Dawn, and was warning you about the pit, did you think that was really kind of him?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool because, I mean, I was trying to stick it out in there, and those guys are really freaking brutal, and I was kind of like going, you know, I don't know about this, right? And he kind of just gave me a heads up, you know, how it kind of goes down there, and I thought that was really cool. And I thought, okay, if that's the way it is, then let's play.
But now, did you also think to yourself, this guy is really sweet?
Oh, yeah, he is really sweet. Like, that's, you know, so many of my friends just, you know, from, like, watching the video, and Vicky spent a lot of time with him down there, and he is generally a really sweet guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long did, so you guys started talking in 2009 then, huh?
Yep.
And I'm a big fan of what you guys did because it's actually what I just did with the girl that I happen to be in love with. It's kind of like an old fashioned courting process when you can't be together. It forces you to really get to know each other, doesn't it?
Well, totally. I mean, I'm a very sexual person, and you know, it's next to impossible for me to be around anybody that I'm interested in without going there, right?
Right.
So, I mean, the fact that he's on the other side of the freaking continent, you know, there's no way I don't have the financial means, or neither does he, to be jumping back and forth. And I mean, if we had got together you know, in person, something would have happened. That would have been no question.
Right.
And so this forced us to, and I mean, for a long time, like, I wasn't looking at him as a potential mate. You know, we were just friends. And I mean, the pit was where we got started talking, sort of, but I mean, it went on from there. Like,
wait a minute. What was the moment, Dawn? What was the moment for you that all of a sudden you started to think, you know, this guy, could be a love interest?
Well, that's exactly what I was actually leading into was, I mean, I competed in two shows this year, Open Canadian Nationals and Master Nationals that were 2 weeks apart in August. And leading up to that show, there was some major, major things that went down in my life. And like, you know, I mean, you know, when you're in contest prep, you're crazy anyway. But I mean, when major things hit you like that, you know, especially me, I go totally sideways. And most people just cannot handle me at all. And I mean, Brandon, I mean, I called him a couple of times and I was just like freaking peeking out of my mind. And, you know, he just brought me down so quickly that I've never had anybody in my life that had that effect on me.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really, you know, it was really refreshing. And I was just like, whoa, you know, like, I really dig this guy, you know. And that's, I think, during my prep, that's when it changed for me, like how I felt about him.
So did you,
closer and closer together.
When it changed for you, did you start talking to him differently? You know, cause it's hard when you're with somebody, you can touch them, you can give them a kiss, you can smile at them a certain way where the connections, you start thinking, hey, you know, she likes me differently, but you can't do that over the phone. You have to do everything verbally. So did you communicate to him, you know, Brandon, I'm really getting attached to you or something to that effect?
No, I don't. Neither of us did, really. I mean, it just, like, over a series of a few months leading up to my show and him helping me through, like, I mean, we both have Blackberries. And seriously, those things are the greatest things in the world. Because, I mean, I think leading up to when we met, which was actually last Thursday in person, I bet you could count on one hand how many times we actually talked to each other on the phone.
Because you're doing everything through Blackberries, you're saying?
Everything via BBM with a BlackBerry because, you know, that it's free in North America. So we, like, you know, we're constantly talking to each other throughout the day, every day. And, like, you know, when I was doing my cardio, when I was going through stuff, and, you know, he helped me so much through my prep. Like, I honestly don't know what I would have done without him.
So he was great emotional support for you.
Incredible, like incredible. And it really wasn't that far out of the Olympia, really, when we decided to get married.
So, okay, before we go to that, Steph, and I want to know about that transition, I have to ask you some questions. First of all, was there at any point, was there any type of phone sex going on?
Yes, there was one time, actually, one time. And that was a while ago now.
Right. But it was obviously, cause you know.
Was it on the phone or was it through BlackBerry Messenger?
No, it was actually on the phone.
Okay.
That was actually the first time we ever talked, I believe.
And the BlackBerry messages, obviously do the BlackBerries have cameras on them? I don't even know.
Yeah, they do. They're great for BBM sex.
There you go. Okay, great. So, I mean, obviously you had to start exploring that sort of stuff at some point in time because it's very easy to build a connection with somebody, even though they're not in the same room with you when you're having intimate conversations and heartfelt conversations about your life. And I'm sure that there's a lot of sharing going on. I bet you know a lot of things about Brandon. And Brandon knows a lot of things about you that you probably never knew that level of men that you had intimate relationships with.
Oh, for sure. You know, I mean, from when we first started talking, I kind of thought it was before the pit came along. I really think it was, but who knows? You know, like, I remember, like, some of our very first conversations that we had, because I'm, like, if I was an animal, I'd be a squirrel. I have to know everything about everything, right? And I just, like, will ask everybody, like, what sign are you, you know, like, where do you live, what do you do, all that kind of stuff. And I remember from way, way back him telling me, like, how bad he hated Memphis and how he wanted to be in, you know, the fitness lifestyle and, you know, how bad he wanted out of there. And I'm just like, you know, there's a spare room in my house. My son doesn't sleep in his bed. You know, he still sleeps with me. And anytime you want to come to Canada, come up. You got a free place to stay.
How old is your son, by the way? I got to ask you that.
He just turned 9.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's still young.
And he is, like, ecstatic about Brandon. He's actually been telling me to marry Brandon for the last month.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been telling me to marry him for the last month because I came back from one of my shows. I picked him up at my parents. I'm driving over, like, this big bridge here, and he's a fisherman. And he says, Mom, he says, when you buy me my boat so we can go fishing, can you buy me a big net? Because I want to catch lots of salmon, and that way I can make lots of money, and you don't have to work your ass off. And I said, that's really sweet, sweetie. I said, but, you know, I was really thinking about getting a boyfriend or a husband to kind of help me. And he goes, that's a really good idea. And then he's like, starts going through this checklist of everything that, you know, he wanted this guy to have. And he's like, will he help me clean fish? And I said, yes. Will he let me go camping? And I said, yes. And then he goes through, you know, and then he's like, check 1, check 2, check 3. And then he goes all the way to check 9. He goes, will he be your husband? And I say, yes. And he goes, check 9. If he answers yes to all these questions, marry him.
Wow. And so he said Brandon. He said marry Brandon.
Yeah, because I said, well, actually, there's a guy that I like, and his name is Brandon. And so I started telling him about him. So I told him all about Brandon. And then when I got home the other night, my parents dropped him off, and he came in the house, and he says, Mom, he goes, you need to marry Brandon. And I said, sweetie, I got to tell you something. Don't tell your nanny and grandpa, which is my parents, because I haven't told them yet.
Right.
I said, but I've told your dad. And I actually married him yesterday. And he's like, yippee!
Oh my gosh,
he's
that's
like
amazing.
Running around the house, and he's like, I got a dad.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Now, Brandon, how, and you're going to have to speak up, Brandon, because you're amongst people who all talk loud and you don't. How are you with kids? You like kids?
Very much. I actually care about kids a lot. And my parents know this. And I was telling my mother yesterday how thrilled I am to actually be a new father now. And, you know, She totally gets it.
Now, Brandon, are your parents afraid? Are they sad that you're going to move to Canada?
I really am not sure about that. My father has not given any sort of comment yet. My mother, on the other hand, she's like, "Good, go, get out."
Yeah, right. Get out of Memphis. Yeah, that's exciting.
She knows how much I really do not like it here. And she knows which direction I want to go in life, and she knows it cannot happen here. And she told me several months ago, you know, look, I understand what you're saying to me. There really is nothing that I can do for you. Follow your dreams. So whatever you have to do it, just make sure it's done. Make sure you're happy.
Now, Dawn, what part of Canada do you live in?
I live just outside of Vancouver, British Columbia, so right on the west coast. So we're about 4 hours straight north on the coast of Seattle. So it's really, really mild here.
Oh,
so everybody's
cool.
Like, oh, my God, you know, you're going to freeze. But, you know, really, we get very little cold weather.
That's over by Surrey, right? Surrey, Vancouver?
Yeah. I live in Surrey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I know where you are. Okay.
I mean, you can go, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes up a mountain and hit snow. But right here on the coast, it's really mild.
Interesting. So you guys, what's that?
Who else lives there?
Who else lives in Surrey?
No, in where she lives in Vancouver.
I don't know. Do you know? I mean, is this a trick question? You know who lives there?
No, I was trying to. It's not a trick question. I'm just trying to remember all the Canadians we've had on. Who else lives in Vancouver?
Somebody. Isn't that judge that we had on from Canada? He's a judge.
Oh, that's right, Dan Kennedy.
Dan is up in Edmonton, I think, or near Alberta, I think. I think. I could be wrong. You know, I'm not really good with that sort of stuff.
He's a national judge. I'm sure he's judged dog before.
Yeah, maybe he has. Who knows?
Anyway, sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Anyway, so you guys got married this weekend, And did you do it? I forget. Did you do it at the Little Chapel of the Valley? Which one? Which chapel did you go to?
No,
we were at. Go ahead, Brandon.
We went to Lakeside Wedding.
Okay, Lakeside Wedding. And now, technically, have you had your honeymoon already, or do you guys still have to go on a honeymoon?
No, that is to come in November.
Where are you going?
Well, that's actually a kind of a funny story.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Our wedding night, he was supposed to leave at like 1 something in the morning. And he was trying to get his airline ticket changed. And so, you know, he was told that if you wait till a couple hours before your flight, it's cheaper. Well, it was like $500-something to change it, right?
Right.
So, and we were only going to change it for like a few hours later, right? So the lady on the phone says, you got to go to the airport to do that. So, you know, I mean, we could have, we didn't have sex after we were married yet. Right?
Right?
So we thought, okay, we go to the airport, we leave now, we go to the airport, we come back, we have sex, right?
Right.
So we got married, we went down the strip, we ate, we come back to the hotel, we're trying to get this flight changed. We go to the airport, it's 10 o'clock at night, this flight leaves at like 1:30 or something, and they're like, oh no, nope. You're going to have to go right through the gates before, you know, to see, and then somebody's got to volunteer to give up the seat, and then we might pick you and we might not, right? So we're like, oh, fuck, right?
Right.
So we go and we sit in this waiting area till like 1 o'clock in the morning in the airport. So he goes through, and they're like, we're just like praying that, you know, he'll be able to volunteer to get off. And I'm like sitting there, and he's like, well, I'll BBM you to let you know. So he goes to the gates, and I'm sitting there, and then he's like, then the flight was delayed a little bit. And then he's like, he goes, I'm getting on. And I'm just like, fuck, right? And I'm like, well, I guess I may as well go, right? And he's like, yeah. So I get in a cab, and I just get in the cab, and the cab driver says to me, he says, did you have a nice flight? I'm like, I didn't go anywhere. I says, my flight doesn't leave till later. I said, my husband just left, right? So I start like bawling. So I'm like crying all the way back to the hotel. And I get on RX, and I'm typing what's just happened on my thread. And I'm halfway through it, right? And then all of a sudden I get this message from him. And he says, I'm coming back. And I'm like, what? So he was actually sitting on the plane. The plane was getting ready to take off. And a guy comes over and he says, you're in my seat. And they're like, the stewardess is like, let me see your ticket. Right? He goes, sir, you're on the wrong flight. Your flight doesn't leave until the afternoon. And he's like, they're like, we have another seat for you back here. He's like, let me off the plane. So he got off. So we had the rest of the night together.
All right. So here's an important question. Obviously, and when you build a relationship over the phone, through the internet or whatever, and you really get to know each other, that doesn't guarantee the sex is going to be good. So, and really.
No, and to be totally honest with you, if the sex had been bad, I would not have married him. I would have just literally lit that couple ground on fire and said, oh, well.
Right. So what you're saying is you're very happy with your choice then.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, Brandon, I have to ask you, and obviously, you know, everybody falls in love at different rates and everybody has different taste in sex. Were you very happy once you realized the woman that you'd be spending the rest of your life with sexually?
Yes. I mean, and yes is like an understatement. I really do not have the word for that, but yes, that's all I can say.
Okay. Well, that's the important thing. That's the important thing. Okay. And I tend to think that women are much more choosy than men. I'm not saying that we're all dogs, and I'm not implying that Brandon is a dog or anything like that, but I just think that women tend to, because for a woman, the connection is different because the man is actually penetrating her. It's like a totally different thing. So I kind of think that with women, if a woman says the sex is really good, then it's probably really good. So.
And you know, when you really and truly have a connection with somebody,
yeah,
and you really and truly love them and know them,
I know,
it's completely different than if you're
I'll tell you what I learned at this point in my life. All the relationships I've ever had in the past, sex happened very early on. And when you have sex early on, you start to build a connection before there is any real reason to have a connection. You start to have an emotional connection first. But in my life now, and my circumstances now, the very, very first time, I was making love because I was already in love with this person. So it was very, very different. And very, and a matter of fact, it was so different for me that it took, it was new ground for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I understand what you mean.
I totally dig that.
Yeah. You have a connection starting out. I understand entirely.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, because like watching the video of Dave interviewing me, and he's like, well, you hadn't had sex for 18 months. Couldn't you have waited a couple more days? But see, with me, it's like, I'm a very sexual person, and sex is extremely important to me. And seriously, if he'd had a small cock or he was like a completely shitty in bed, there's no way in hell I would have gone through with it. Absolutely not. Like, that's just the way I am. So if I had waited till my wedding night and I'd have found that out, I would be like trying to get divorced right away. you know, like, it's just the way I am.
Right.
So,
right. Well,
you know,
congratulations on that. And congratulations on Brandon having a big cock too. Okay.
I know how to use it.
There you go. Anyway, well, this is wonderful. We actually have to take a quick commercial break. All right? We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have more questions for the lovely newlyweds. And if you have any questions, please post them on the board. You're listening to Off Topic Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at aaronsingermanfitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a haloidrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at aaronsingermanfitness@hotmail.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Think I better dance now. Cheers.
Welcome back to Off Topic. We're talking to newlyweds Brandon and Dawn. Now, Dawn, did you take Brandon's last name, or since you have a professional profile, you maintained your last name?
Yeah, I'm going to keep Don Allison. I'm going to use his name sometimes, but yeah. I'll probably use just Don Allison most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, and because when you're a professional, you've developed a certain amount of equity in your name, whether you're a doctor or an entertainer or something like that, and it's hard to just switch.
Yeah, I mean, people are already calling me that, Mrs. Bastion. You know, I mean, I like it, you know, so, I mean, I'll use both names for sure.
Now, has Brandon told you about his plans to redo one of the rooms in the effigy of Bruce Lee? Is that okay with you?
Huh? Whatever he wants to do is fine with me.
Okay, all right. Now, I got to ask you a couple more questions because this is really important stuff. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about, you know, marriage is supposed to last a lifetime, whether or not it does or doesn't. One would hope that you would want to be together for the rest of your life. I know that when I think of the person that I'm in love with, I actually said I would want her to outlive me because I wouldn't want to be in the world without her. So thinking in those terms, do you think that if Brandon wanted to have a child, his own DNA, one of his own, would you consider that?
Well, we'd already talked about this, you know, and I mean, I'm fixed. I mean, I like my tubes are clamped. I could undo them. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to be 46 in November. I wouldn't want to go. Like, I always look at, like, when the baby's 20, how old am I going to be?
Yeah, yeah. Right? How much can you participate in the baby's life, right?
You know, yeah. I think you need to be around to, you know, help your child no matter how old they are. And, you know, like, he said that he wasn't interested in having a child of his own.
Okay.
You know, I told him, I said, if I was 10 years younger, I would definitely have a child with him.
How old are you, Brandon?
I will be 35 next week.
You know, and that's still young. I mean, I'm not suggesting you're young by any chance, but I mean, that's still young enough where you may, sometimes men get to a certain age where they start to think about their own mortality, and then a child becomes like part of the legacy. And if in fact Brandon did want to have a child, but agreed that you bearing a child would be too risky, too dangerous, would you ever consider adopting a child?
Oh, I thought about doing that when I was young. So, I mean, that's always an option. But, you know, like, you know, I have a son, and he's still quite young. And my son really wants a dad. And, you know, like, personally, like, I think having one child, I'm not, you know, in any way looking down at anybody that has more than one. But really, when you have one child, you can really focus on that child. Yeah. Right? The more kids you have, the less you've got to give that kid.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Time and energy.
There's only
so much time and energy.
Right. As a father of three, I can understand that, and it does make a lot of sense. Okay, so now let's talk about something else. Dawn, you're a professional. You're a professional entity of your own. You're almost a business of your own. How are you guys going to handle finances?
Well, I mean, I think we're partners now,
right.
You know, I don't look at myself, as, you know, like, this is mine, this is yours, you know?
Because I happen to know from some of the posts that you've made on the boards that you've had, at least one relationship, not too long ago where you were kind of taken advantage of by the guy you're with. Am I correct with that, or am I wrong about what I'm saying?
No, I've had a series of relationships like that,
right.
You know? And I mean, that was one of the things that I took 18 months, you know, of celibacy in order to work on those areas of my life in order to not attract that kind of person anymore.
Right. Well, I think you got it right this time, because what I know about Brandon, I can say this with unabashedly that he's a decent and kind human being. He's a guy with a heart. You know, he has a real heart. There's a lot of guys out there who feign that, but he really is a decent and kind human being. So as that part of it, it looks like you've got your radar fixed. But obviously finances are where most marriages end, finances, because let's face it, financial pressures can cause people to bicker and blame each other for the stress in the marriage. And so obviously, you know, I'm no Dr. Phil, but obviously that's something that has to be well defined. I don't think that's something you can go into willy nilly and just assume that it's going to work its way out because you both say you're partners. That's all.
Well, you know what? I mean, this is something that I made very clear to him on more than one occasion. And actually, Storm, when he gave his checklist, one of his points was, will he be a good family member and help to work and support the family?
Yeah. And I got a feeling that that Brandon is a contributor.
As long as you pull your weight with me, like his dad, I gave his dad, you know, I went my entire pregnancy, my entire year's maternity leave, and I was back to work for almost a year, and the man would not work. Out. You know, get the fuck out. Yeah. You know, I'll support myself and my child, but I am not supporting a man that is fully capable of getting a job. And, you know, I told him, get a job at the gas station for minimum wage, part-time, I don't care. Get a fucking job, right? And
make an effort.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you got to make, you know, $30 an hour.
Right.
But you got to put forth the effort. And as long as you're putting forth the effort with me, then... You know, I will stick with you to the end, no matter what.
Now, do both of you practice complete and total honesty with each other?
Yes,
you have to.
Well, I know you see. I know you have to, but a lot of people always save a little part of themselves for safety, just in case things don't work out. They kind of, well, I'm just going to hold on to this or hold this back, and obviously that damns the marriage right from the get go. That was the mistake I made in my marriage. I know that, you know.
Well, I think that's a difference between, you know, for us is because we had developed a relationship over a long period of time and it was strictly platonic. We weren't going at it like I'm going for him or he's trying to get at me. It was we had that level of honesty, so we were completely open and honest with each other. And this is who I am, right? And plus, I'm an open book. All you got to do is read any of my threads, and I am right there for all the world to see exactly how I am. So nothing is hidden with me, you know. And I mean, if you don't have trust and you don't have communication, you're doomed.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I'm asking for your philosophies on this, Brandon. I got to ask you a question. So in other words, when you first started communicating with Dawn, you didn't have any intentions of, you never looked at her and thought, wow, I really am crazy about her. I would love to get to know her.
No, but like I said, the very first communication was, just let her know what she's in for with you know, with down there with the pit. Now, I can say, though, that probably within another 2-3 weeks, somewhere along those lines, I'd start to look at her like, you know, I watched her enough in the pit and just watched her around the board altogether. I was pretty intrigued anyway. But, you know, the one thing for me was, you know, here I am in Tennessee and there she is in Canada. You know,
I can relate to this. But the only thing that I can say differently about my experience is that I actually fell in love. I mean, I really did experience love at first sight. But my problem was when I saw this woman, I thought to myself, there's no way she could ever be interested in me. But I was interested in her immediately. And that's why, I mean, I don't know. That's why it's interesting when both people, neither one of you are really interested in each other and you develop a relationship. In my case, I really had an interest and I probably am the one who, pursued more and still do, you know, and usually I always feel like the guy is the one who pursues. So I figured maybe Brandon looked at you, Dawn, and said, you know, while there's nothing going on now, boy, I'm crazy about her.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Hey, Aaron, you have some questions? You want to jump in here?
No, I'm trying to stay quiet so that everybody can hear.
No, tell the truth, Aaron. You're taking notes because you want to get this next relationship right also, don't you?
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. For sure I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking notes, so maybe I should be, huh?
Nah, well, no, you could just listen to the show on your MP3 player tomorrow while you're doing cardio.
You know what? Seriously, I think a big part of success for me is taking the time aside, not jumping back into another relationship, and working on myself. So not looking at what needs to be changed in others and the world, but what needs to be changed in me in order to attract the right kind of person. Because the world is just a mirror of what we are, right?
Maybe that's what I need to do, Carl.
What's that?
Maybe that's what I need to do.
What, buy a mirror?
If you don't take that time to work on yourself, and to me, it was like a couple of years ago, it was one of my psychics that actually made me aware of my pattern with men, right?
What was your pattern? What did you discover?
like, the guys that I go for are guys that, like, I take under and I try to take care of them. And, you know, I try to not change them but help them. And it's like they're fucked. You know what I mean? Like, they just take and take and take, and I give and give and give until there's nothing left, right? And, you know, if there's no growth, no change in them, you know, after a certain amount of time, you just got to cut your losses. Like, this last guy, he owes me $7,000. $7,000. He's living at home with his mom. He's got a full-time job. And he knows how bad I need that money. That money came off my credit line, and he's not paying me. You know?
Yeah.
Like, how can you live with yourself? Like, seriously. You know? So it's like, I got to break this pattern. This last time, that $7,000 really hurt me. And it was like, you know, I cannot continue to do this. You know, there's something about me that needs to be changed in order for me to break this pattern.
And obviously the first step was to start. I know that some people, when they come to that epiphany moment, what they immediately do is they absolutely go the opposite direction of where they've gone before. If they were attracted to this type of person who had these types of traits, they actually start to seek out people who are exact opposites. Did you do that?
I didn't seek out the exact opposite. No. Like, you know, I believe in the law of attraction, you know, and I believe that if you hold in your mind what you want, and you totally believe that you're going to get it, and you have the patience to hold out for that, and you don't accept anything less than 100% of what you want, then you'll get it.
Okay. All right. Now, had you seen pictures of Brandon, on the, obviously his profile pictures and stuff like that?
The BlackBerry Messenger.
Yeah, I've seen a few. Yeah,
but
I've
mean, before,
few
I mean, when they were first, when they first got to know each other, I'm saying, did you? And so, was he your body type? Was he the type of guy, did he have that look that you liked, or was he the opposite of the type of guys that you had dated in the past?
The guys are bigger. I'll admit that, you know, than he.
But we already know that GX is big in the right places. But I understand what you mean.
Right.
They're more muscular. Okay, I just had to put that in there, Brandon. Okay. Anyway, so he looked different than the guys that you had dated before.
Yep.
Okay, and
yep.
Also, were the guys that you dated before soft spoken and polite the way he is? No, I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah.
Good.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
And it was interesting because one of my figure girls just watched the video of us on the wedding and saw the pictures, and she said he looks very gentle, right?
Right.
And he is. Like, I have never, this weekend past, I have never been treated so gentle, so lovingly, so adoringly in my life. Like, it was amazing, like
right.
Absolutely amazing.
Right, and I have to believe that the men that you've been with before were the exact opposite. And this is why I'm saying, I don't think that you do it consciously, but I think that when you get to a point in your life where you've hit your head against the wall so many times, and they say that pain is growth provoking. I remember one of my first therapists telling me, if you sit in a chair and it gives you a backache, eventually you'll buy a new chair. And so pain is growth provoking.
But some people don't.
Well, it just takes some people longer. Some people don't get it right until the day after they die. That's the difference.
Yeah.
But anyway, so in your case, I have to believe that it was registering in your mind that these guys that you were attracted to before were not the right guys for you. And whether you did it consciously or subconsciously, you actually became attracted to the antithesis of what you were attracted to before, which is Brandon. Brandon is a good human being. He's kind. He's gentle. And I also know something about Brandon, and that is that he's gentle like the ocean, but the ocean can produce a tsunami when it needs to. And I believe the same thing about Brandon as well. Still waters run deep. And so I think that unconsciously you started to realize this guy is exactly the opposite of what I would normally be attracted to, and what I've normally been attracted to really sucks.
Yep.
And so that I really believe that happened with you, whether or not you consciously saw it happening or felt it happening or made a decision for it to happen. I think that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I'm an asshole, and I can have my opinions. So anyway.
No, I think, again, it is figuring out exactly what you want. And part of figuring out exactly what you want is knowing what you don't want. right?
Yeah.
And what's really important is actually writing it out, making a list. You know, and I said to him one day, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, literally, I got exactly what I want. So what is your wish list? Well, and I mean, Dave asked me this on Sex and Muscle Radio. He goes, what do you want? Right? You know, and one of the things is I like tall guys.
Right.
You know, 5'10", 5'10 and a half, 6 foot. What's my ideal? 6 foot. How tall is he? 6 foot.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not chasing black guys, but my preference generally is black guys.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, what else do I want? You know, I want someone who's kind, who's loving, who adores me, who will help me, you know, and I mean, I can go on and on and on. I did the other day in this thread, I got deleted now, but, you know, and I mean, I had a specific list of exactly what I wanted, and I held that in my mind. It's the law of attention, intention,
right.
Law of attraction,
right?
But you got to not only know exactly what you want, you got to believe that you can have it. Because if you say, it's just like somebody that wants a certain body, they'll bring me a picture, they say, I want to look like this, but I know it's not realistic. Why is it not realistic? Because you're not willing to do what it takes in order to get it. You don't believe that you can do it, right?
Right.
So you got to believe it. You got to make it. You got to believe it.
Okay. We only have a couple minutes left in the interview. So now I want you to each individually give me the snapshot. If you had a crystal ball, or if you were able to mold the future, Dawn, where do you see yourself with Brandon a decade from now?
Where do I see myself?
Well, are you still competing? Are you a homemaker? Like that? Like, where do you see yourself? When you think of the future 10 years from now, Brandon is in the picture with you. Where do you see yourself?
Well, out of this freaking apartment for one.
Yeah.
I want us to have a house. You know, I'd like to have a little bit of acreage. You know, I see us having the gym and the personal training studio that we want, that we are able to go to the Olympia like every year and go to different shows, have a team of competitors and do the things that we love and enjoy, right? And we share the same goals and dreams. You know, we both want a hardcore gym and we both want to be trainers and, you know, we want to work together as a team.
Right.
So, you know, I believe that we're going to have that.
Now, GX, Brandon, I'm asking you the same question. Now, if any of your answers are different, it's good to get them out. I mean, do you see yourself in that same thing? Is that what you want? You want a hardcore gym? You want to be involved in the industry from that standpoint?
Exactly. That's why I'm so glad I'm leaving Memphis, because it would not happen here.
Right. Okay.
Actually, everything that she just said is exactly where I would see us in 10 years, if not sooner.
Well, I mean, yes, and you're right. It may happen sooner. I'm just saying. Now, when does Brandon come up and meet your family, Dawn? Or when, or are you just going to move there next, Dawn? What's the next step for you, Brandon?
No, I will be going up in November.
In November.
For about 10 to 12 days.
Okay, so you're going up there for 10 to 12 days. And when you go up there for 10 to 12 days, will you be scouting a job? Will you be doing the legwork to get citizenship? What's your goal?
There's some testing that I need to do for my certification. So I will be doing the majority of that while I am there. But beyond that, I really could not tell you at this moment.
Yeah, so you're really just going up there to spend time with Dawn. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
That's right. I mean, there's a couple of reasons we're doing it at the end of November. Number one, it's my birthday. But number two is, like, I sent him everything that he needs to get certified, like, and most of it can be done online. Some of it has to be done in person up here, which is one of the tests is instructor competency evaluation. So what our goal was for him to take the first course, which is fitness theory, and then do that online. Then the next one is weight training, and then he's got to do as much as he can online, and then come up there and get tested up here in person, then go back down, then he can take personal training online, and then when he moves up, he can get iced for that, and then he's certified. As far as the job's concerned, I have no problem getting him work up here. There's tons of work for him up here. And plus, we're the reps for Species, so we can get commission from that, too.
Cool. So, yeah. Brandon, when do you see yourself actually making the move, kissing mom and dad goodbye, getting on the plane, or driving the car with the trailer behind it north? When do you do it?
My goal is February. And whether everything's been pushed through or not, I'm going. So.
Right. Okay.
I've been in Memphis entirely too long, and it's time to just say goodbye.
Are you originally from Memphis, Brandon?
Yes. Born in Nashville, moved here when I was 3, and this is it.
But when did you determine that? When did you develop this disdain for being in Tennessee?
Oh, I don't know. Say 15, 16.
Is it because Tennessee is racist?
You know, actually, I can deal with that. I mean, racism is an ignorance that, you know, you just have to overlook. Otherwise,
right.
It swallows you whole. You know, it turns you into someone ugly as well.
Right.
It is something that I am not concerned with. I mean, racism is everywhere, so you never really.
Is it the small mindedness of Tennessee that happens to also foster racism? Is it the small mindedness that you don't like? What is it that you don't like about Tennessee?
Well, I cannot even say Tennessee because I mean, like, even Nashville is much different than Memphis.
Okay, all right. So Nashville. So what is it that you don't like about Nashville?
You know, Nashville is fine. No, every place in Tennessee is possibly better than Memphis.
Okay.
The problem with Memphis is that there is no one actually wants anything here. And on top of that, people seem to think that, you know, somebody or just everybody owes them something. You know, in other words, there's like no drive, no initiative, no anything. And I really just cannot connect with people like that.
So in other words, you're saying the whole state has had a frontal lobotomy.
No, not the whole state.
I mean, whole city, the whole city. I'm sorry, the whole city has had a frontal lobotomy. Isn't it true that the reason that you want to leave Memphis is because they closed down all the Kenny Rogers restaurants? Now, be honest. Isn't that why you're leaving Memphis?
Look, that, you know, we wouldn't.
Because you missed that sweet potato pie. Now, be honest, Brandon. You've told me in private. Now, you can confess to the listeners.
But
come on.
You said we would not discuss.
I'm sorry. Dawn, you're going to have to learn how to make sweet potato pie, baby. That's all I can say to you.
Well, I thought he knows how to make that.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway, listen, I want to wish you both all the luck in the world. I mean that for a marriage to succeed in this world today, it can succeed. But you always have to lead with love. If you love each other and you focus on that love, even the most difficult of times, you don't become defensive. You can overcome things, and that's the God's honest truth. And frankly, I'm sorry that I missed your wedding. I wanted to make it, but I was working on my own love at the moment. So,
that's good for you.
There you go. But anyway, I really do wish you guys a lot of luck. And
thank you,
Aaron. You want to say
luck,
something?
Good luck, absolutely. Good luck, Dawn and GX, Brandon. I'm sure we will be kept up with the goings-on in your relationship, and I look forward to hearing about Brandon going to visit and him eventually moving up to Canada.
And now, Aaron and I will perform the Jewish good luck wedding ceremony, Shabbat, Shalom, B'nai B'rith, and what else, Aaron? How do you say it? What do you got?
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam tzilechem min horet.
There you go. Shah Shel Hanukkah. There you go. you guys have a wonderful time. And Brandon, you keep us posted when you get to Canada. And because there's we need a mule to bring juice down north, okay?
I mean, we're trying to get it up here.
Oh, you don't have to go very far. BLP just lives on the other coast. BLP's on the other coast. He'll hook you up. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, no, he's already hooked me up a bit. But
there you go.
I'm trying to get that whole doctor from Panama thing going up here.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Sigler, give him a call. There you go.
But you know what? It's like I think everybody is kind of like, you know, sitting on their edge of the seats, and everybody wants somebody else to go first to see if they get busted.
Well, there's a lot of people buying from Sigler that aren't getting busted, so I don't know what anybody's waiting for.
You mean but are they going to Panama, or is he just sending
No. He does his thing over the phone with you. He gives you his consultation. I guess they do some blood work, and then they send you your stuff. So
yeah, but apparently it's a lot easier to get it into the U.S. Apparently it won't get into Canada.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, they won't even let DHEA in Canada. So, you know, what am I? That's maybe Dawn. You should consider moving south instead of GX moving north.
My son told me yesterday. He says when he turns 12, which is when he's legally allowed to decide where he lives, which he lives mostly with me now, but he's court ordered to go to his dad's at least one day a week. And he says he wants to move to Texas when he's 12. So.
Oh, very cool. There you go. All right, well, listen, I want to wish you guys all the luck in the world. Congratulations on your marriage. What else can I say? There you go. Okay?
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank all of the listeners for tuning in tonight. I'm sorry we didn't do shout-outs. We'll catch up with everybody next week. And Aaron, you got anything else you want to say before we close the show?
That's it. Good night.
Good night, good luck, and may God bless. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.